The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Mu'ed Katan Daf Chet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Joe Habert in memory of his grandfather Gabriel Ben Zakiye. Ruach Adonai Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf is being studied in the Adun Ishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in the Rifuah Shelema Yosef Ben Saram. Illa Rifanalo Betuch Shar Chole Amo Israel. Amen. Begin today's daf on Zayin Amud Bet, right on the bottom line. Let us review quickly where we're holding in this sugya. The Gemara said that according to all opinions, that means according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yose that discussed the subject of looking at Nega'im on Chol HaMoed, so Rabbi Meir's opinion was you're able to look at Nega'im, and if the Kohen thinks the fellow is Tahor, he renders him Tahor. If it's Tameh, he doesn't have to say anything. He just keeps quiet. According to Rabbi Yose, no. The Pasuk writes, Le Taharo or Le Tameo, teaching us that the Kohen must make a ruling either way, either Tahor or Tameh. But all opinions agree that the Kohen is in charge of making the ruling, meaning a person does not become a Mitzorah until the Kohen says, you're Tahor or you're Tameh. It's not an automatic. So the Gemara says, how do we know that the ruling is dependent on the Kohen, and the person does not become a Mitzorah just when he gets the spot? So the Gemara said two shitot. The first shita was from a pasuk. The pasuk said, "Ubiyom harot bo," on the day that you will show the kohen the tzara'at. So from the fact that it's ubiyom, that's an extra word, extra letter u. Just could have pasuk could have just said biyom harot. Ubiyom says that there's certain days that the kohen looks, and there's certain days he doesn't look. What are the days that he looks? On a regular day. However, on a day that's going to affect his simcha, for example, simcha shel mitzvah, he doesn't look. What's the cases? Hatan. After he gets married, he has 7 days of simcha. All of a sudden comes a tzara'at on him. In that case, we say the Kohen should not look at it. Why? Because if he rules him, he's going to be tameh. He rules 7 days of happiness. Or it's the regil. It's the holiday. He's going to look at it, the Kohen. He's going to ruin his holiday. So on those days when you have a mitzvah, the Gemara said you are, the Kohen does not look. Now what does that prove to you, but? That it's dependent on the Kohen. Mm-hmm. It's not an automatic. Jeez, certain days he looks, certain days he doesn't look. So that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi said, no, it brings a different pasuk. By tzara'at habayit, nige bayit, that's a person who gets say tzara'at on his house. So the pasuk says the Kohen comes to look at the house to see if it's tameh or not. So before he makes his ruling, it says, v'siva Kohen ufinu et habayit. Says the Kohen makes a ruling, meaning before he says whether it's Tameh or not, he tells the guy, take out all your kelim out of the house. Why? Because when he's going to make the ruling that it's Tameh, everything in the house is going to become Tameh with it. So therefore, to save him, it says he delays his psak in order to give him a chance to take out the utensil. So what do you see from over here? That you could delay a ruling for a tzorech of not a mitzvah, even just to save the guy's money. So the B says, if you can delay the ruling for a regular devara reshut, a voluntary item like saving the guy's money till he gets all his assets out of the house, kal vachomer, you could delay the ruling for tzorech mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Now, in this Gemara, the Gemara says, may benayu, what's the practical nafkamina between the two sources? The first source of the Biyuda is what? Ubiyom harot. On the day that he sees it. Ubiyom, yesh yamim she'ro'e, yesh yamim she'enro'e. And what's the days enro'e? When there's a simcha shel mitzvah. According to the B says, no, eno tzarik, we have the pasuk of ufinu et habayit. Which also teaches us that if you can delay the reading, the ruling for a devar reshut, you can delay the reading for a tzarek mitzvah. So the Gemara, my benayu, what's the difference? So the Gemara gives two nafkaminot. Number one, mashma'ut dorshinika benayu. Nafkamina is, I learn it from this pasuk, you learn from that pasuk. Which means to me, it's more mashma to be Yudas, to learn it from the pasuk of biyom arot. And to the other rabbi said, no, to me, it's more mashma to learn from the pasuk of finu tabayit. It's just the nafkamina in derash. Which pasuk you learn from, which pasuk I learn it from. Gemara says, another nafkamina, when it comes to a devar reshut, a voluntary item, can you delay the psak of the Kohen for voluntary? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot. Because he learns ubiyom arot, the days that you see sarat, and there's days you don't. Which days did he exclude? When there's a simchas shel mitzvah involved? Hatan or a regel? Only when there's a simchas shel mitzvah you can delay the psak. But if it's devar reshut, you don't delay the psak. Whereas according to the B, he learned from the Nigei HaBayit. Nigei HaBayit, you see why? You could delay the psak even for devar harishut kol sheken for devar mitzvah. But once you learn from the Nigei HaBayit, you're transferring that to Nigei Adam. And therefore, by Nigei Adam, also you'll be able to delay it for devar harishut. So that's a big enough kamina. Can the Kohen delay his psak by Nigei Adam for devar harishut? Which is, everybody agrees by Nigei Batim, the Torah says, if you know what to buy it. That's a clear pasuk. Nobody can argue on that. But when it comes to Nigei Batim, you delay the psak in order to get the guy to move out all his utensils. The Hiddush is according to the B. He learns Nigei HaBayit, what is said by Nigei HaBayit, he transfers it to Nigei Adam. And if we're just like by Nigei HaBayit, we delay the psak for a voluntary reason, so to by Nigei Adam, also that's a tremendous nafkamina. Can you delay the psak on Nigei Adam for Devar? How do you shoot? Oh, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, me'atam lo gamrinan. The Hiddushu. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, from over there, I'm not going to learn. Which means from the Ufinuat Tabayit, I'm not going to learn the Deen to Nigei Adam. Because we have a principle that even though you say, what do you mean, Nigei Bayit is Sarat, Nigei Adam is Sarat. So whatever it says by Nigei Bayit, I might as well transfer it and learn the same thing by Nigei Adam. No. What it says by Nigei Bayit, it itself is a tremendous Hiddush. It's a novelty. What's the novelty? The novelty is that it seems by Banim Ba'alma lo metameu. Normally speaking, stones and pieces of wood do not receive tum'ah. That's called pishute keli'itz. A wood to be tum'ah has to have a receptacle. But a plank, a board that's on the guy's roof or the guy's wall, that's not considered a keli. And then what's a hiddush in itself to say that nigayeb batim is even tameh at all? And here by nigayeb batim we say it is tameh. So we have a klal according to the Biyuda. Once an item is a hiddush, you cannot learn it to another case. Which means you want to say, well, if Nikkei Batim is like this, I'll apply it to Nikkei Adam. Hold it. Nikkei Batim itself is a novelty. So if it wasn't written by Nikkei Batim, I wouldn't say this halakha. So en bo ela hiddusho. Which means you only learn the hiddush that's said by it, and then you cannot learn it to Nikkei Adam. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why specifically he has to learn from Ubiyom Harot, and he doesn't learn from Ufinu Tabayit, because that's Nigei Batim, and Nigei Batim is a Hiddush in itself, that the stones and the planks of wood are Mikabil Tum'ah Bichlal. Okay. So comes the Gemara now and analyzes it. Gemara says like this, according to Rabbi, where did he learn the source of that you push off Sarat, until the Kohen makes his psak, which is for Dvar Reshut and Kosh Shekin for Dvar Mitzvah, he learned from the Nigei Batim, from the Pasuk of Ufinu Etabayit. Right? So you see the Kohen delays the psak even for Dvar Reshut. So the Gemara is going to ask now, but you also have the Pasuk of Ubiyom Harot, which means we have a Pasuk already by Nigei Adam that says, Ubiyom Harot, some days he looks, some days he doesn't. So why couldn't he just learn from the pasuk of Ubiyom Harot to teach me that some days the Kohen is allowed to delay his psak? Why did he need both pasukim? Why did he need the pasuk by Nikai Adam and the pasuk by Nikai Batim? So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Amar, it's Derich. You need both pasukim. If the pasuk Torah just would have written Ubiyom Harot bo, have I mean a ledvar mitzvah in ledvar reshut lo? I'd say, yeah, okay. That's only telling me Dvar HaMitzvah. So you could delay the psak of the Kohen if you have Dvar HaMitzvah like a Hatan in the 7 days or an Egel. Ketav Rahmana v'siva Kohen. So that's why we have the second pasuk to teach me that, no, you can even delay it for Dvar HaRishut. Because if you know what to buy it, is you're delaying the psak even for to take his assets out. V'ketiv Rahmana v'siva Kohen. If the pasuk, if the Torah only would have said the second pasuk v'siva Kohen, meaning if you do it abayit, habamina hani in delav tumah de gufeh. I would say, yeah, the reason why it can be lenient is because it's not tumah of the goof. It's only tumah of Bayit. Aval tumah de gufe ema mechzahajale. Maybe I'll say by tumah de gufe, when it comes to dvar reshut, he has to look at it. You cannot delay it. Tzricha. And therefore comes and tells me the second pasuk. Therefore comes and tells me the first pasuk. That what? Like this. The first pasuk is ubiyom arot, that you see you can delay the psak. Albeit, you can only see from that pasuk you can delay it for tzorich mitzvah. But once I see already you could delay, so then already when I have the second pasuk, by nik'e batim, I can even add, that you can even delay the dvar reshut. Which means like this. If I just had the pasuk of a finu tabayit, I'd say, okay, finu tabayit, you can delay the dvar reshut by nik'e batim. Finished, because that's what it says, why? But you cannot learn the Ge'e Batim to Nege'e Adam, and finished. And then by Nege'e Adam, I'll tell you that you can only delay for Dvar Mitzvah, because the Pasuk is Ubiyom Arot. Oh, but that's what Gemara says. Once the Pasuk is Ubiyom Arot, so now I see already there's an inyan of delaying the Psak by Nege'e Adam. Once already I see you can delay for even a Dvar Mitzvah, then I'll add and say you can even delay for Dvar Reshut. Which is, if I didn't have that first Pasuk Ubiyom Arot, so I wouldn't know that you could delay for Dvar Reshut. So basically, if somebody would ask us, how do you know according to the B that you're allowed to delay the Psak for Dvar Reshut? It's a combination. It's a combination. Which means, because if it just would have said the first Pasuk of Ubiyom Arot, I'd say the Dvar Mitzvah you could delay. The second Pasuk, if I had it alone, I come along and say, Dvar Reshut, that's only by Nikai Batim. But now that I have Ubiyom Arot, where I see you could delay it for Dvar Mitzvah, now I can activate the Pasuk of Ufinu Atabai to say that not only by Nikhe Adam could you delay for Tzorech Mitzvah, but also for Tzorech Reshut. Let's read that in Nashi. Look at Nashi. Stop line. V'nabi Amar Itztarich. Kelomar, Afagav di Alif Tum'a de Gufe Mitum'a de Lav Gufe. Even though we learn the tumav aguf from the tumav that's not from the guf, meaning tumat abayit, the dvar reshut mevitzivakun istarik biyom arot po. We still need the pasuk of biyom arot, even though the chaurah just learned from the second pasuk. If you know what abayit, if you're delaying for dvar reshut, konshekei you can be delaying for dvar mitzvah. That's the only pasuk you need. What do you need the first pasuk of biyom arot? Aval tumat de gufe emalot de lo yalif tumat de gufe tumat de lav de gufe dvar reshut mevitzivakun. Da'aba mina chidushu. She said, only had the pasuk of finu tabayit, I'd say no. You can't learn nigei bayit to nigei adam because that's a chidush in itself. Kamash malan biyom arot danu tumat de gufe de mamtinin lo ledvar mitzvah. Once already you see by tum'ad de gufe from the pasuk of biyom arot that you can't delay the psak for dvar mitzvah, v'il v'ashkahan de mamtinin lo de tum'ad de gufe mi'al ledvar mitzvah. Once already you see that there's an inyan of delaying the psak, albeit for dvar mitzvah, it le'na mikoach le'melaf mevitzivah kohen de mamtinin lo tum'ad de gufe ledvar reshut. Af agav de chidushu. So the first pasuk of biyom arot is very important. The first pasuk teaches me there's a concept you can delay the psak by adam. Well, once you're ready, you teach me, you can delay the psak by adam, albeit for tzorich mitzvah. Now, ready, I can activate the second pasuk. If you know what to buy it, to teach me, you could delay for nikai batim for dvar reshut, and I can learn nikai batim to nikai adam. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Mor, yesh yom she'ataru ebo, v'yesh yom she'ataru ebo. So we say for the word ubiyom, according to the Biyudai, he said there's some days the Kohen looks, and some days he doesn't. So the Gemara asks, "Me'e mashma? Where is it mashma in those words ubiyom that yesh yamim she'ro'e v'yesh yamim she'enro'e?" Amar Abaye, "Im ken lichtov rachamana beyom." The pasuk could have just written beyom harot. My ubiyom. What's the extra vav? Shma'mina yesh yom she'ataro'e bo v'yesh yom she'ataro'e bo. So Abaye is really learning. It's coming from the extra vav. Rava Amar kula kera yeterahu. He says, forget it. Not only is the vav extra, the whole word is extra. When he sees, my ubeyom, what do you say the word ubeyom at all for? Oh, the question, Abaye, you only learned the extra vav. How come you didn't hold that the whole word itself is extra? Now, I use the word biyom. Biyom teaches me that you can only look at the tzara'at, the kohen, in the day, but you cannot look at it at night. But according to Rabbah, where did you learn biyom velo belayla? Because he says the whole word ubiyom is extra, so where did you know day and not night? Nafkale milechol mar'e'ene ha'kohen. The pasuk says, according to the vision of the eyes of the Kohen. So you see what? It's got to be a psag based on mar'eh, which means what he sees. Which means, when do you see? When does the Kohen see? In the daytime. At night, the Kohen cannot see. It's dark. So therefore, he learns that the Kohen can dafka see it in the day from mar'eh and a Kohen. What does the Abaye do with that pasuk? To come to exclude that a blind Kohen in one of his eyes cannot make a ruling. Because the pasuk says, "Lechol mareh enei haKohen," that the Kohen that makes ruling has to have two eyes. Veraba nam'eh mib'eh lehachi. What the Gemara says, according to Rabba, he should also need the pasuk for that. How can he learn day and not night? He should learn the hadush of that the Kohen's got to have two eyes. Inakinameh. You're right. Rabbi really does learn from the Chol Marei Enei HaKohen to teach me has to have two eyes. So back to the question then. So where does he learn day and not night? V'ele b'yom v'lo b'lale minale nafkale mechenega nir'ali b'bayit. When a person goes to the Kohen, what does he tell the Kohen? Mechenega, like a nega nir'ali was seen to me in the house. Li v'lo le'ori. Which means to me and not to my light, which is what we're talking about. It was in the day, because when he says I saw it, now when can the person see the nega only? Then Ali, meaning from my powers, your powers, your eyes. Your eyes can only see in the day. Li velo leori, meaning I saw it from myself, not from a light. Not that I took a candle and looked at the wall. Now, if the fellow goes to the Kohen and tells him this, he must be going to him in the day. And the next pasuk says, right after the guy tells the Kohen this, the Kohen goes immediately and gives a psak. So it still must be the day. So therefore, according to Rabba, the source of day and not night is Nechnega Nir'ali Babayit. He goes to the Kohen in the day, meaning I saw it with my own eyes, meaning in the day, and the Kohen goes and makes a psak in the day. Vabaye, also, what does Abaye do? Why did he learn from that pasuk? That's to Babayit, maybe. Maybe tumat bayit, you can see dafka in the day. Aval tumat degufe afilu leoro nameh. I'll say, who said you can learn tumat guf from tumat bayit? That person was mechnega and ali babayit. So therefore, Abaye will say, I might say that you can't learn from there to tumat gufe. Kamashwan, we have another pasuk that says what? Ubeyom harot. So from the word beyom, which is tumat degufe adam. The Beyom teaches me Beyom velo balayla. U Beyom teaches me Pa'amim she-ro'eh, Pa'amim she-en ro'eh. Oh, Rabba, where do you learn Pa'amim? Pa'amim she-ro'eh, Pa'amim she-en ro'eh from the whole word. U Beyom to me, the whole word is extra. Because the pasuk could have just said U Bar'ot. Oh, according to that, where do you learn Beyom velo balayla? So I learned it from Nikhay Batim. Because by Nikhay Batim it says Khnegan and Ali. Li velo le'ori. Oh, Abaye, what's the matter with that pasuk? No, that pasuk is not good for me. That's why Nikaye Batim. Who says you learn Nikaye Batim to Nikaye Adam? Therefore, I have a special pasuk by Nikaye Adam to teach me Ubeyom, and that's how he knows Beyom Velo Balayla. Comes the next Mishnah. Ve'od Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, Melaket Adam Atzamot Abi Ve'imo Mepenesh Shesimcha Hi Lo. The Mishnah says, on Chol HaMoed, the person is allowed to gather or collect the bones of his mother or father and reinter them. Which means, in the olden days, they used to bury, let's say, the person's parents. And then they would wait till the bones decayed. And then they would make a reinterment of the bones and bring them to the family burial plot. So that's called Milaket. You would gather the bones and make a second burial. Hadush of the Mishnah, you can do that even on Chol HaMoed. Because it's a happiness. What do you mean it's a happiness? It's not going to be a happiness to bury a person's parents. So that she says, to bring them into the family burial plot. He's happy. He's bringing his parents to the burial plot, to the family plot, the family spot, so that she's learning, at least in the Mishnah, and this is going to be the Hava Amina, that he's happy. And we continue the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Avel Hulo. He says, no, this is Avelut, and therefore the guy's going to get sin from this, and therefore you cannot reinter the bones on Chol HaMoed. So we have a Mahloket. Next case. Lo ya'orir adam al mito. Irur is the following. We used to have a custom, if somebody passed away a month or two before the holiday, so they would hire a eulogizer, not only to eulogize, but to go from house to house to tell the people, come and be bitter with me, come and mourn with me, to inspire the people to feel bad for the deceased. You can't hire that guy in Chol HaMoed. Obviously, we don't want the guy to go around and start, bringing bad tidings to everybody and causing them to make avilut. Look at Rashi. Lo ya'er al mito. Do not inspire others to mourn for his death. Im met lo met chodesh or chayim kodem HaMoed. Let's say somebody died a month or two before the holiday. Lo ya'er mefarish b'gibara kad hadar savdana b'ma'araba. Kelomar, shelo yiskor safdan. You should not hire a eulogizer, lahazor al kirobo, to go around to the people, lomar bichu imi kol mare nafesh, cry with me, all bitter souls. Don't hire him. Velo yaspidenu, kodem laregel shiloshim yom. Interesting. If somebody dies within 30 days of the holiday, according to the Mishnah, you're not supposed to eulogize him. Rashi, lo yaspidenu she'im met lo met betoch shiloshim yom lefnei haregel, lo yiskor safdan lahaspido. Do not hire a eulogizer to make the eulogy. Ushloshim yom atarvayu kaya. V'ta'amad ushloshim yom mefresh b'gemara. See, the Gemara is going to explain where they get this 30-day cutoff point. And as she said, the 30 days is going back on both dinim. Right, which is with 30 days you cannot hire a eulogizer, and within 30 days now they cannot hire a me'orir. That guy that goes around to tell everybody, come and eulogize. That's a 30-day rule. Now the Gemara begins. Udminu, we have a contradiction. Hamelaket atzamot abi ve'imo. On the day that a person is melaket, reinters the bones of his parents. Hareze mitabel aleim kol hayom. He has a deen of avelut the whole entire day. Which means whatever avilut means. He cannot wear leather shoes that day. He has to sit on the floor. He has to, whatever the dinim of avilut is. It's a one-day avilut. Normally, a person has a seven-day avilut. But on the day of the reinterment, that day itself is avilut. Ul'erev in mitabel aleim. But you don't have to mitabel the night. It's only an avilut in the day itself. I mean, you don't have to do the day and the following night. You're just able to sit one day. And that's it. Ve'amar Rav Chazda said, "Afilu sirurin lo besadino." See, even if you don't see the bones themselves, meaning even if the bones, let's say, are wrapped up in a sadin, in a cloth, so you really didn't see the bones per se. They were wrapped up. You just picked them in a sack and you put them from one place to another place. Doesn't matter. That day is considered avilut. Oh, so now the question obviously is, you said mepnesh simcha hilo. You said that day it's a simcha. What do you mean simcha? The Gemara says over, you have to be Bavilut. How can you tell me Mipnesh Yisimhailo? Amar Abaye, Ema Mipnesh Yisimhat HaRegel Alav. Read the Mishnah to mean, because the Simha of the Regel is on him. Not the pshat that it's a Simha for him to bury his parents. That's not the Simha. But he has the Simha of the Regel on him. What is this answer? So he has the Simha of the Regel on him. Bottom line, all the more so, if he has the Simha of the Regel on him, now he's doing something that requires Avilut. So the Mefarshim explained like this now. Once already the Simha of the Regel, there's no Avilut. Which means the Simha of the Regel overrides Avilut. So he's not going to be Avil. Which means, really, we understood originally that that the Mishnah meant, Mipnesh Simha hi lo. That it's a simcha to how can you tell me it's a simcha? If it was a true simcha, how can you tell me it's avilut then? Avilut is clearly, it's not a happy thing. Because otherwise, what do you have to make a mourning period for? Mourning implies that what? It's a sad item. It's because, what we meant to say is we know it's a sad item. But what? Mipenesh simchat haregel alav. Which is once you already have simchat haregel, we're not going to obligate him to make avilut. And what does it have to make avilut? So therefore it's okay. So therefore really the dinim of avilut are suspended on Chol HaMoed. So which is, if the dinim of avilut were not suspended, we would not let the guy reinter his parents. Because we don't want you to make avilut on Chol HaMoed. You have to be besimcha. So it's saying, since the simchat regel on the person, so that already causes the dinim avilut to be pushed aside, therefore he's allowed to do it. Only because the dinim avilut are pushed aside. lo ya'ar'er al mito. My lo ya'ar'er al mito. So we say within 30 days, you don't make this process called ir'ud. Meaning bringing the, we'll see now, what is ir'ud? The Gemara says, Amar Rav, kad hadar saftana b'ma'araba, when the saftana, the eulogizer, would return in Eretz Israel from the funeral, Amre, they would say, Yibkun imme kol mirire liba. Cry with him or them, the mourners, all those that are bitter. So you cannot hire this eulogizer to go around now inspiring other people on Chol HaMoed to make avilut. Not only on Chol HaMoed, even within 30 days of the holiday, you're not allowed to hire this. We'll see exactly the reason why. We'll see the reason why. Gemara says, 30 days before that, there's no you paying the eulogizer, nor paying the me'arer. Where do you get the 30 days from? There was a guy, he saved up some money in order to go up to Yerushalayim for the regel. So what happened? A eulogizer came to his house, and there is somebody in the family had just passed away. So the eulogizer is looking for business. He figures, you know, he wants to get some money, he'll go make the eulogy. So he went, to see if he could draw up some business. Venetaltan isto. So his wife took the money that they had prepared to go up to Yerushalayim for the holiday. Venatantan lo. And she ended up paying the eulogizer to make a hesped. Venimna velo ala. So the guy refrained from going up. He didn't have the money. At that point, the rabbi said, lo yorer al meto velo yespidiru kodem naregel shiloshim yom. Which means the only net is the money. Since the eulogizers take money, we don't want a person to take his savings that he's saving for holiday needs, and now end up, you know, not wasting it, but giving it to a safdan, and then he's going to be nimna from the simcha of the regel. So therefore, within 30 days, no eulogies, because of the fee that they're going to take. So comes the Gemara to Shmuel Amar, lefi she'en amit mishtakeh min alef 30 yom. He gives a different interpretation. He says that a mit is not forgotten within 30 days of his passing. Which means, what's going to happen? We're concerned like this. If, let's say, within 30 days you're going to make a eulogy for the deceased. Once you make that eulogy sticks in the person's mind for 30 days. That means during the holiday, you're still going to be remembering the eulogy. And that's going to remind you of the mit, and it's going to damper your simchat hag. Understand? Which means, once you do within 30 days, now the maspi talks about the mit. Now once he talks about the mit, that's in your brain for 30 days now. At least. Right? It takes 30 days to forget it. Now if it was within 30 days, that means during the holiday, he's still going to be thinking about the mit. That's already tzad. So the Gemara now asks, my benayu, what's the nafkeh between the two reasons? Ika benayu, the ka'avat behinam. Right? The nafkeh is going to be if a eulogizer doesn't charge a fee. According to the first reason, the whole thing was that you don't want him to take the money for some hachtum to give it to the eulogizer. If he's charging for free, if there's no charge, I mean, so then it's mutar. However, according to the second reason, it doesn't do with the money. It's got to do with the simcha of the holiday. That therefore we're concerned that if you judge with 30 days, you're not going to forget it, and therefore it's going to ruin the holiday. So that's the nafka mina. It'll be asur according to the second reason. Look at the taprashi. If he she'en amit mishtekeh min alef shloshim yom. Kilomar. Kevin the mit en mishtekeh min alef shloshim yom, im maspito pachom min shloshim yom lefnei haregel. Right, if you're going to eulogize within 30 days, atel mispat beregel. You're going to come to eulogize on the holiday, da'adayin lo shekho, because you didn't forget him. So it's like almost it's going to cause you to eulogize another just because you reawaken the person. Da'abad b'chinam, ma'an da'amah mishum ma'od, shizimen la'regel, kim on the saftan avid b'chinam, shepidam. According to the opinion that says you're worried about paying the guy, if it's free, no problem. Ma'an da'amah lefish en amin mishtakeh min alev shloshim yom b'chinam, na'meh asur. But according to the opinion that says, no, it's the simcha, it's going to be ruined on the holiday, I don't care if he doesn't charge anything. The point is, 30 days is going to be asur. Comes the next Mishnah. According to Tosafot, just interesting, Tosafot, the Ka'avid Hinnam, Venered Alakha Ke Rav Be'esure. Alakha follows Rav. She's Rav, it means according to this, it's only Asur if it is being paid for. She's paying the eulogizer. Va'afilu l'Shmuel, and even according to Shmuel, Yeshlomah de lo Asur el Aide Safdana. He's only said if you use a eulogizer. Abal hu atzmo shari. But he himself, the mourner himself, can make the eulogy. When he lets it out, it relieves him, and therefore he's able to recover from the tzar much quicker. So according to even Shmuel Tosfot wants to say, within 30 days, the guy himself can make the eulogy. He just cannot hire a eulogizer. The eulogizer can, it takes 30 days for the guy to recover. But himself, once he lets out his tzar, he recovers much quicker, and therefore he'll be happy. Comes the Mishnah. And Ofrim Kuchin Bekevarot Bamu'ed. Okay, it is forbidden on Chol HaMu'ed for the purpose of Metim to dig Kuchin and Kevarot. The Gemara will explain to us what is Kuchin and Kevarot. Now, the purpose of digging them is you're concerned that people are going to die, and if we want to have them ready, they're like graves, and therefore you're not to dig them on Yom Tov because of the issue of Terha Yetera. Now, if you look at the art scroll, you have pictures over there of a kuch.
A crypt.
They call it a crypt. Which basically what it is it's underground. And what they do is like a cave underground. And they have like different slots that come out of the sides of this cave. And like that fit exactly the shiur of a met. Right, so they put them in the cave, they go, they walk into the cave, and there's like holes there, and they stick the body in these different cavities, exactly, that fit the mit. Okay, so that is the, that's a kuch, they call that, okay?
A catacomb.
Exactly, that's what it's called, a catacomb, and each slot is called a kuch, which is a crypt. And they kevid. Kevin is a, they would build, let's say, they would build above ground, like a monument above the ground, like they have today, a tomb, and that's where they would bury, underground, with a cavity on top. So that's a regular standard kivura. Okay, so the kuch is the crypt or the catacomb, and then you have the kivura, which is the bury in the ground with a monument on top. The, both you cannot do on Chol HaMu'ed, dig them, because of the inyan of Terha Yetera. Aval mehanechin et hakuchin b'mu'ed. You can mehanech. You can, we'll say, adjust them on Chol HaMu'ed. We'll see exactly what that means. Ve'osin nivrechet b'mu'ed. It is permissible to make a nivrechet. What is nivrechet? That is a pond for people to collect water there in order to wash clothes. It's not such a terha yetera to make this pond, because they would, you know, collect the water in a certain area. Tosfot asks the question, what are you talking about? You're not allowed to wash clothes on Chol HaMu'ed. What are you making the pond? So Tosfot says, no, later on we're going to learn exceptions that people that cannot wash their clothes before Yom Tov, for example, somebody came out of jail on Chol HaMu'ed. He couldn't wash his clothes before Yom Tov, so therefore they made a dispensation. So for those people that are mutar, the nevrech would be permissible to make as well. The Aron imamet behaser. Now, if Badmanav is a mit that died, and he's in the backyard, he's in the chata, he's in the courtyard, it is permissible to make an aron, which means, how do you make an aron? Aron is a coffin. How do you make the aron? You have to actually take wood, cut it, fashion it, so it's permissible. Why? Because when everybody sees the mit in the chaser, so everybody's going to know when they see the guy taking his saw out and cutting wood, they're going to know you're doing it for the mit. However, if the mit is not there, they're going to see the guy cutting wood and think maybe he's building something. So therefore, to get rid of the marit ayin issue, dafka when the mit is in the chatzir, where people see the mit in the chatzir, then you can go even start cutting the wood to make the coffin. Rabbi Yehuda osir. Rabbi Yehuda says, asur. No, unless you have planks that are pre-made before the Chol HaMu'ed or Yom Tov, you cannot make the Nisarim. Even if the mit is in the Hasir, you cannot make the Aron. Rabbi Yehuda said, as she says, "Lavi etzim v'la'asotam Nisarim l'tzorech Aron elam kenu minusarim mitachlak kodem Yom Tov." Right, unless they were planked from before, you cannot do it on Yom Tov. And we'll see the Gemara. Let's just look at the Tosafot for a second. The Aron imamet behaser. Tosafot says, "Amrina birushalmi, amar bi mana hadad amar bemet she'elo mefursam." This is only talking about a met that's not famous. Amar bemet she'elo mefursam osim Aron afilu beshuk, because in a place where a met who's famous dies, everybody knows that when they see them making the Aron, they know because this famous person died. כהדד רב חנינא חבריו דרבנן, like רב חנינא, the friend of the rabbis, דמח בחול המועד, he died on חול המועד, עבדי לארון בשוקה, he made the, they made the Aron from even in the shuk, because everybody knew that רב חנינא died, so there was no מרית עין that they're making an Aron stam, they knew they were doing it for the אדם מפורסם. כן תוספות שס ונאל לדידן שיש קהילות מועטין חשבין אלו מפורסם לכול הומתיים. He says today that we live in small communities. When somebody dies, they know about it because it's such a small community. So he says today, anybody that dies is considered mefursam, and therefore, because the word gets out, everybody knows. So then, when they see the people making the aron, it's, oh, it's because of so and so died. That's the shita of the Tosafot. Chavos Gemara says, "My kuchin, my kevarot." What is kuchin and kevarot? Amar Rav Yehuda, kuchin b'hafira. Says kuchin is you dig. In the catacomb, they dig in the walls itself to make these kuchin, which calls are called crypts. The kevarot b'binyan. Kevarot is the above ground binyan. That's the building that they built over the met. Tanya, we have a brighter to support this. Eluhin kuchin ve'eluhin kevarot. Kuchin b'hafirah. The kuchin is the digging in the ground themselves. The kevarot b'binyan. Kevarot is building the above ground monument above the Bet. Comes the Gemara continues about mechanechin et hakuchin. What does it mean mechanechin et hakuchin? Ketzad mechanechin. How do you? What's the lashon he uses? Mechanechin. Adapt them. Okay. Amar of Yehuda shimaya aroch mekatzero. Which is, let's say it was too long. Which means the crypts are exactly the size of the met. So now you have a crypt already that was dug before Chol HaMoed. Now somebody dies. So now, let's say it's too long. So they want to shorten it, not that it can fit in it. So they put mutar. Sometimes you have to lengthen it, or sometimes you have to widen it. So therefore, just to make an adaptation to the kuk that already exists in order to make it fit, so that already is permissible. So it's permissible to make a nevrechet. My nevrechet, what is this nevrechet? Amar of Yehuda, zu bakia. It's a bakia. Bakia, we explain like a pond where they put the water, like we said, for the kofsim, for the launderers. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Vatanya hanivrechet vehabakia. We have a brighter that's matter. These are two separate things. There's a nevrechet and there's a bakia. So how can you tell me that a nevrechet is a bakia? Abaye, amar abaye vetima ravkana, giha ubar giha. Right, you have a primary pond and a secondary pond. Giha ubar giha. Rashi, giha ubar giha. Let's read the Rashi. According to Haggaha, giha ubar giha. Nevrechet berecha gedola she'osin. See, the nevrechet is the big pond that they make. Mahaser she'ikansu bo kol ha'shofkim. Which means all the water goes into the big pond. Bakia. Bargiha. What is a bakia? That's bargiha. That's the secondary pool. Berecha ketana. That's the secondary pool. She'osin samuk legedola. They make next to the big one. Kedesh she'ikansu amayim hayotzim legedola lektana. She'im mele'a v'nechnasim leketana. So you have the overflow. You have the big one, the primary one, that they call a nevrechet. Or that's a giha. And then you have what? Bargiha. That's the secondary one that flows into it. So how does that answer the Gemara's question? The Gemara said originally, my nevrechet amar Rav Yehuda zu bakia. So bakia, we're understanding is what? Is the secondary. V'atanya ha-nevrechet v'abakia. What do you mean? It says both. So the Gemara said, you're right. Amar Rav Yehuda v'etim arav kana giha u'bargiha. Which means you're allowed to make the big one, that's called the nevrechet, and you make the secondary, it's called the bakia, which is the bargia. Both of them are permissible on Chol HaMoed. Gemara continues. V'aron imamet b'chaser. Tanina le'at the turin baran. Osin kol surke amet. On Chol HaMoed, it's permissible to do all the needs of the met. Gozezin lo se'aro. Number one, they can cut his hair. U'mechabesin lo kesuto. They clean his garments, because that's the tekrichim. Ve'osin lo aron, and they make him an aron, u'menesterin ha-menusari, ve'osin lo aron, menesterim ha-menusarim ha-erev yom tov. So according to this opinion, you can only make him an aron from wood that was already cut before yom tov. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, af bevin ha-etzim ha-menesterim b'tzina'a b'tok b'to. No, if you want to do a b'tzina'a, it's okay. You can take wood in the house where nobody can see, b'tzina'a, it'll be permissible. Rashi, ואהרון עם המת בחסר, כלומר כשמת בחסר, when he dies in the חסר itself, the מוחם אלתד לצורך המת עבידה, מצל למת אהרון ובאותה חסר. According to Mishnah, you can only make the Aron when it's in the Hatzer itself. Menaserin and Menusarim, yes, Amon Esrim, Tukanim, Erev HaMoed, the Torah Gadol, Asotam, Mogas. According to his opinion, to make them on Yom Toh, Yochol HaMoed, it's a Terhaya Terah. So therefore, if you have already, it's okay. But according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, he says, you can bring wood to the house, cut them up, and do it. So comes out the Shitot as follows. According to Tanakam and the Mishnah, Met Bechatzer, so you're allowed to make the boards, cut them even in the Chatzer where the Met is. Why? Because nobody's going to hashash over here. You see the Met over there. Everybody's going to say you're doing it for the purpose of the Met. The Yehuda says no. Even the Met is in the Chatzer, you're not allowed to make these boards on Yom Tov. It's a Chol HaMoed. It's Terhaya Terah. It's Asur. The Ban Shimon Gamliel and the Braita want to say Met Bechatzer, he could dafka make it in the bayit of the Chatzer B'tzra'a. Because he holds that even in the Hatzir itself could be a Marit Ayin. Even though the Met's right there, they might think you're cutting the wood for a different purpose. And then we saw Tosfot in Yerushalmi that emphasis. Before Sam, you could do it even in the Shuk, because everybody knows exactly what you're doing it for. Comes the Gemara Mishnah continues. And Nosim Nashim Bamored. It is forbidden to marry, Nisuin, on Chol HaMoed. Lo betulot velo almanot. Person cannot marry a betulah, it's a virgin, or an almana, that is a widow. Velo miyabbimin. Nor can you fulfill the mitzvah of yibum. Mepenesh simcha hi lo. Because all these things provide a person with simcha. So you say, so what? Chol HaMoed, it's beautiful. Why shouldn't you have simcha? We'll see exactly the Gemara. Aval mahziru et girushato. A person could return his wife that he divorced. Which is, he takes back his divorcee. Because that's not already such a simcha, because he was married to her already. Ve'oseh isha tachshiteh b'moed. A lady's allowed to make her cosmetics on Chol HaMoed, but put on the cosmetics as well, like makeup. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo tasud. She cannot put on the depilatory. That's like the limestone that causes her hair to come off. Mepenesh shenivul hula. Because it makes her disgusting. Why? Because first of all, it's a tzar when they put it on, and she says it's agonizing. There's a smell to it, and also it takes time for it to work. And in the interim, it causes the lady to become like distressed from this. So therefore, you cannot do the depilatory on Chol HaMoed. She says, "Lo tasud besid bepneh shenivulu etzla achshav b'moed she tasud besid u'mista'eret." It's a tzar. Ha'idyot tofer kedarko. A amateur is allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed in his amateuristic way. That's not asur. Va'uman machlib. But uman, which is a craftsman, machlib. Machlib comes from kelim, which means he can make the stitches in a zigzag, like the teeth of a dog, which means you do it in a non-professional manner. Umisaregin et amitot. You're allowed to put the ropes on the beds. We'll see in the olden days, that's used to have to set up the beds. You put ropes across the box spring in order to sleep on them. So you're allowed to set up the ropes that are on the bed on Chol HaMoed. Healers, you can stretch them. It seems according to the Biyosim, we'll see in the Gemara, the ropes are there already. All you can do is just stretch them to make them tight in. Now we'll see the Gemara. V'chi simcha ilo, may have it. You tell me you can't get married in Chol HaMoed because it's a simcha. So what? So because it's a simcha, so you, the mitzvah has to be simcha sameach on the holiday. What's the reason why it should be asur to get married? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chen Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, V'amri La Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hanina, Lefi She'en Ma'arvim Simchat B'Simcha. First reason, because you're allowed to mix two simchot together. As she says, Kilomar, Ba'inan Dilismach B'Simchat Mo'ed Dehudeh. Finished. The simcha now is the holiday. Do not combine two simchot together. En Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. Tosfot says, this is a Gezerah Tekatuv. Okay, it's not the katuv that you're not to mix two semachot together. Comes the Gemara and says, actually Tosfot then quotes, we learned it from Lavan, when Yaakov got married to Leah, and now he wants to take Rachel as well. So Lavan tells Yaakov, Male shivu azot, finish this week, means finish your 7 days of simcha, and then you can marry Rachel. So you see what? The Torah is writing this, that must be that that's a proper halakha. And if we see from Yaakov that he married Leah, that a week later he married Rachel. Why? Because you cannot get married in 7 days because you have the Sivat Yemeh Chuppa. Ancient Tosfot says because we want your mind to be on the Simcha of the holiday. If you have two Simchot, you cannot pay attention to the Simcha of the Hag. You're going to neglect the Simcha of the holiday. Now, Rabba Bar Baruna, Bar Ravuna Amar, Mipenish Shemani Asimchat HaRegel, Vosif Asimchat Ishto. Different interpretation. He says, Stam, if you're going to be involved in getting married on the Chol HaMoed, you're going to leave the Simcha of the holiday, and you're going to be involved in the Simcha of your wife, which means you're going to neglect the Simcha. So it's also a source, Sivara, that you have to be with Sabbat Ba'agecha. And how are you going to be able to do both? You're not. You're going to take your wife over the holiday, and therefore you're going to neglect the Simcha of the holiday. Amale Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Had Rabba Baravuna Deravu. This last reason that Rav Huna brought is actually the opinion of Rav. The Amar Rav Daniel, Bar Ketina Amar Rav, Minayin Shen Nosim Nashim B'Moed. How do you know that you cannot get married on Chol HaMoed Shnei Amar V'Samachta B'Hagecha? You have to be happy on the holiday. B'Hagecha V'Lo B'Ishtecha, which means with the holiday and not with your wife. Another reason, Ula Amar B'Pnei HaTorah, which means to make a wedding is a Torah. Now you're going to get married at Chol HaMoed, you have to prepare the Seudah, you have to prepare all the preparations. So therefore we do not want a person to get married at Chol HaMoed because it's going to cause him to be Matriyah on the Chag. So it's a different reason. Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha Amar Rabbi Bitul Piriya V'Ribya. It's a different reason, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha. It's going to cause him to refrain from Piriya V'Ribya, from having children. How? Chat is like this. A person is going to always want to get married in Chol HaMoed. Why? Because anyway he's making a Seudah for the holiday. So therefore he says, you know what? Well, anyway I have a Seudah prepared for the Hajj, so I'll make a wedding as well, and therefore we can have the Seudah slash holiday slash wedding. So what's going to end up happening? He's not going to want to get married any time of the year. Let's say he's ready to get married 2 months before the holiday. He's going to push it off and say, I'll wait till the holiday. That'd be too pretty. She's supposed to have children right away. We'll get married immediately. So if you allow him to get married on Chol HaMoed, he's going to delay it to Chol HaMoed because he wants to do the Seudah together. And therefore, Dafka, you can't get married. So look at the Rashi on the bottom. Bitu Periyah V'Ribiyah. Ti'ishari Nisuin B'Yom Tov En Adam Nose Isha Kol HaShen HaKudah. That a person's not going to get married all year long. Ela Mamtin Adam Moed. He'll wait till the Moed, meaning Yom Tov in this case. She'yeh Oseh Seudah Achat L'Moed V'Nisuin. Like he'll kill two birds with one stone. He'll make one Seudah for both. And then Pidu Pidu Avir Abiyah. So basically we have a few reasons of the Hakamim over here, from Pesukim, from Sevara, why one cannot get married on Yom Tov on the holiday. Now look at the bottom Tosfot. Pidu Pidu Avir Abiyah. Umatnitin Haki Pirusho. Now, if you're going to say the reason is Pidu Pidu Avir Abiyah, you have to explain the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said the reason why you can't get married on the Moed is Mipnesh is Simha Hilo. Now, how do you interpret Simha Hilo because of Bitu Periyav Rebiyah? You have to define each reason according to the Lashon of the Mishnah, Mipnesh is Simha Hilo. So the Gemara says, so Tosfot says like this, Haki Perusho, Mipnesh is Simha Hilo, Umashe Ota Beratzon Ada Regel, Shiye Sabayah. Which means either you can explain that since it's a simcha, so he's going to push it off to the regel, which means willingly, or she panui, or so he could be free, which means be free from work, and therefore he's able to do it on that day, which means the simcha, he's happy to push it off, which means mipenesh simcha he lo to push it off to the regel. And why don't we want you to do that? Because of Bitu Periya V'Ribya. The Adik Tani Abad Mahzik Girushato. Now when it says Mahzik Girushato, you're allowed to. She'en Simcha Lo Ve'lo Shayach Iru B'Simcha. Well, I understand it's not considered Simcha B'Simcha because he's married already. So if it's not like you're going to neglect the holiday to Mahzik Girushato. Ve'lo Maniach Simat Aregel Ve'gam En Torah Ba. You're not going to make such a big wedding. So I'm not worried about the Torah aspect on Mahzik Girushato. וגם ביטול ורפיריה ורביה אין כאן. Why? שהיה לו אישה כבר. וסתמד דמלתה יש לו בנים. You saying? I may be ביטול פריה ורביה. If you let the guy get מחזיק רושתו on a holiday, he might push it off to the holiday, ביטול פריה ורביה. Tosfos assuming that we're talking about a person that has children. And therefore, she was married already. So therefore, we're not worried about ביטול פריה ורביה. וגם, אין רגיל לשוט דבר זה עד הרגל. Once already he was married to her already, they're not going to push it off to the regil. The guy's not going to say, I'll wait to the regil, therefore it'll be mutar. The Saudat Brit Mila, that also goes into other types of parties. Saudat Brit Mila, mutar la'asot b'chol ha'mu'ed. Tedek ha'simcha. And if Brit Mila, there's no simcha. And therefore you can do it on the mu'ed. Why? Kedami perikamati ketubot, de'lo b'berachin et shesimcha b'me'ono. And Brit Mila, we do not make the berachin et shesimcha b'me'ono. Why? Mishum di'it tzara li'yiruka. Because the child is suffering. The child's in pain. And therefore, according to the first opinion of Tosafot, the reason why you can make a Saudat Mila on Yom Tov or Hala Mu'ed, no, it's not really a Simcha. Why? Because the Tzad of the Tinok. Or a second answer, since that's the time, is a wedding does not have a set time. But a Mila, but Yom Shemini. So if, I don't care even if you want to say it's a Simcha. But if that's the kavua time, yeah, you do it on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. Aval Seudat Pidyon HaBen, when it comes to Seudat Pidyon, Sarich Ayun Imutar Lasu B'Moed. Ve'en Lomar Azman HaKavua. And don't argue and tell me, what do you mean, 30 days, that's Zman Kavua. Tina' Bizmanah. Okay, that only answers Pidyon Bizmanah. Shelo Bizmanah, Heach Yeh Mutar. But let's say the Pidyon is after 30 days. Is it going to be Mutar or not? But just one question really, do you consider a Pidyon a Simcha or not? So he says, "When the early the kaimel karav asher the darish ba'giga behagecha velo beishtecha, the eno asu la'arif simcha besimcha," which means when the pasuk says "v'samachta behagecha," it says behagecha velo beishtecha. Mashma the davka ishtecha. That's where you have the problem of simcha besimcha. But not a pidyon ben. The odd yeshlova the lochashim is simcha besimcha ki im sudan esrim bilvad. That's what I should listen. Either it's a gezrat katuv, or I'll tell you what, only Seudat Nisuin is considered a true simcha, and therefore you do not have to worry about a Seudat Pidyon HaBen, even Shelo Bizmanah. Because bottom line, it's not really a simcha. And Seudat Brit Milah Bizmanah, there's no simcha because of the sa'ar of the tinok, and therefore it will be permissible, comes out the ma'aseh. Seudat Milah, Ben Bizmanah, Ben Shelo Bizmanah, Mutar on Yom Tov V'Chol HaMoed. Not on Yom Tov, obviously, because Shlom Bizmanah would only be mutar on Chol HaMoed. And Seudat, Pidyon, Ben Bizmanah, Ben Shlom Bizmanah, it's not considered to be mutar, but Seudat Nisuin, Asur, Ma'azir Girushato, mutar. Amen.